Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, the Scala Report, with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. The Federal Reserve jumbo hikes these last months in order to constrain in some fashion the outsized inflation following the pandemic and the reopening of the American economy. Not constrained adequately, according to the chairman of the Federal Reserve, who says that he and his colleagues will stay the course of raising rates for the best customers because they have a 2% target, 2% inflation target, and to get there is going to take a lot of severe rate hikes. We've had several. Are there more to come in December and into the first quarter? There is also the possibility the Federal Reserve is watching unemployment and employment. Unemployment has not in any fashion spiked. Employment has remained strong. In the most recent reports, there are more than 10 million jobs available, and hundreds of thousands of jobs are added every month. So it appears that unemployment, as of yet, has not responded to the Fed hikes. But Chris Riegel is here to comment on these numbers, which are sizable, about the best and the best growth companies in America these last years. This is Silicon Valley, the digital universe. Twitter, layoffs this month, 50%. Cameo, 25% this month. Robinhood, 23% this month. Intel, 20%. Snapchat, 20%. Coinbase, 18%. Opendoor, 18%. Stripe, 14%. Lyft, 13%. Meta, most recently, tens of thousands, I understand. Apple has a hiring freeze. Amazon has a hiring freeze. Everyone in retreat. So, Chris, I come to you because this looks like America is headed towards a recession. And yet the puzzle for the rest of us is Silicon Valley outside of normal understanding of responding to the American consumer? Are these jobs based on Wall Street's multiples of these companies? Some of them earn money, but not many of them have a balanced report. Mostly it's about the future. So is this outside of employment, unemployment in America, or are these jobs integrated into what the Federal Reserve is observing? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. You're observing two things in the tech world that are happening with these layoffs and these restructurings in tech. Number one, tech staffed up during the pandemic when workers were very hard to get. They were hiring anyone and everyone. So part of this is a reset back to a more normal level of staffing. The second part, however, is a lot of tech today, especially the Metas, the Googles of the world, are advertising-driven technology. Advertising is their key revenue stream. And as the ad recession that started earlier this year, as gas prices went up, CPG, consumer products goods companies started to spend less on advertising, you're seeing some of the impact of the ad recession. Will there be a Google, a Microsoft, an Intel in the future? Absolutely, no question. Very strong, very stable companies. Some of the mid-size and smaller companies, though, in tech are starting to see the reins pulled back in a little bit from the venture capital side. So you are seeing more existential threat or risk in that mid-sized sector.
So these layoffs then are responding to the expectation of a recession. They're acting like a normal bank.
Tech, for all of its challenges, has great insight to data. So what you're seeing with many of these companies is they're seeing the trend, they're seeing the day-to-day, hour-to-hour, minute-to-minute statistics, and being statistically driven in many cases, they're able to say, hey, I think we're coming into a rough patch or a rougher patch relative to recession, therefore I need to shed some weight, I need to lean the company and be able to still be appealing to Wall Street through whatever is coming at us next.
We go then to the question about what these layoffs mean for expectations of sales of the consumer in the U.S. And that takes us to China. Chris, one of the most disturbing videos I've seen in some time was young people fleeing the Foxconn manufacturing complex, 200,000 employed, by climbing over a cyclone fence and making their way across country to a highway and hiking home or picking up rides from truck drivers who are taking them. They were identified as migrant workers, which in China means they work outside of where their village is and then travel home on various vacation times. But these young people were fleeing what was said to be a COVID zero threat or actuality at the plant. It was flabbergasting to me that this is a business plan that's in place. I'm looking repeatedly now at videos of Foxconn and the manufacturing center there, which is a driver for Apple and other important high-end electronic consumer electronics. These young people look as if they're being treated as indentured servants, even slaves. Is that accurate? Has that always been true, or is this COVID zero turning them into refugees?
So, John, the way China works in the coastal manufacturing centers, all of the factories, and just imagine a factory with 200,000 people, there are factories that have up to 1 million people. You live at that factory 10 months a year. So you travel in from the interior, you live in dormitory style environments in those factories, you're working 40, 50, 60 hours per week. You have commissary, but you're in that facility kind of on a 24/7 basis. You may go home once or twice a year for a week here, 2 weeks there, but you're effectively living at the factory and away from your family. What you're seeing in this Foxconn scenario with the COVID zero threat and workers being afraid of being locked into that plant almost as slave labor, which is a very difficult thing to say, but is also probably not too far off. If you have low food supplies, if you have that risk of being locked in and forced either to stay in those dormitories or to not be able to work, you have people voting with their feet and simply fleeing that scenario. That is going to cause waves of disruptions in supply chain. And China is now caught in a kind of a Scylla and Charybdis moment. Either it's zero COVID or it's live with COVID and keep the factories open. The dichotomy of having to try to serve both masters is extremely difficult and will be very disruptive in their economy.
Chris brought to my attention an article in the Financial Times in these last days that I recommend to everybody who's puzzled about this idea of COVID zero. It's written by a Shanghai correspondent for the FT. I spent 10 days in a secret Chinese COVID detention center. It's bizarre. It reads like a science fiction story, but the abuse of everyone, not just a migrant workers at a Foxconn plant, but clearly people holding passports from outside the country, suggests that the policy is, it's like a machine. It doesn't take into account human beings or the risk of human beings. It has protocols and you become a victim of the protocols. So the larger question then, Chris, is does this affect a supply chain that affects the U.S.? In other words, are those layoffs in tech responding to the supply chain? Can we tell?
The layoffs in tech in the U.S. are not related to this supply chain issue. They're simply companies right-sizing. You will see disruptions in supply chain in first half of next year because of the chip war that's going on between the U.S. and China and the disruption that's coming to the supply chain for semiconductors in China. Currently, there's a little bit of a buffer, but I would wager by the time you get into Q2 of next year, you'll start to see supply shortages again.
And those supply shortages will be at the time that we're expecting a recession. In other words, all the smart people on Wall Street say it'll be early 2023 for a recession in the U.S. That will include the supply chain and tech and everything else. So what we're going to see is China exacerbating the recession. Is that how to see this? The COVID zero is going to make it worse than it has to be?
We're starting to see timelines go up again for components back to some of the levels that they were at the beginning of the pandemic. You're starting to see price spikes again in supply chains. And my guess would be from the early October Biden administration move to remove U.S. chip making support from China, both at the company and at the individual side, that's sending ripples through that marketplace. You'll see disruption, and that could again be the $5 chip that prevents the $50,000 truck or the $1,000 washing machine from being able to be shipped is a potential impact of that.
friendshoring, onshoring, not China shoring. Is that underway because of this unpredictability of the Chinese manufacturing?
Absolutely. You're seeing big pushes towards Vietnam, towards India and other. But the reality is that move is a 3-year, 5-year move. And in the short term, it would be best economically on a global basis that we find some way to resolve short-term tensions with the Chinese and make sure that we can produce and supply harmoniously to the global economy. Otherwise, it will just simply spiral to cause more and more negative impacts on the economies on both sides of the Pacific.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?